I am going to go to the book of Leviticus. So let's turn this morning to the book of Leviticus, Old Testament, the third book of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, chapter 10. And if you remember in our sermon series here, the book of Leviticus is titled that because it's the matters of the Levites, one of the 12 tribes of Israel. It's how the Levites need to do certain things. Leviticus chapter 10. I'm going to read just three short verses, verses 1 through 3. If you have your place, let me hear you say amen. Amen. Let's stand while God's word is being read here this morning, just throughout these three verses. Aaron's sons, Nadab and Abihu, took their censers, put fire in them, and added incense. And they offered strange fire before the Lord, contrary to his command. So fire came out from the presence of the Lord and consumed them, and they died before the Lord. Moses then said to Aaron, "This is what the Lord spoke of when he said, 'Among those who approach me, I will show myself holy. In the sight of all the people, I will be honored.'" Aaron remained silent. Let's pray. Father, as we allow the words of these three verses of Scripture to sink into our minds and into our hearts, I pray, Lord, that the message given here this morning will complement this. But as always, Lord, we need to seek you and give you the glory because you are holy and you are God. And no one and nothing else deserves any glory except for you. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated here this morning. We are in week number 11 in this sermon series on Old Testament lessons. And today's message is titled, "The Strange Fire of Nadab and Abihu." In this series, which I have no idea how long it may continue on, I want us all, including myself, to become familiar with these people and these events from the Old Testament. Because quite often we don't spend a whole lot of time reading the Old Testament. But as we do, it is imperative that we learn valuable lessons from their successes and from their failures. Sir Edmund Burke said this, "Those who don't know history are doomed to repeat it." We need to know this history from Leviticus chapter 10. We do not want to make the terrible mistake of repeating these actions and these consequences. And there is a specific reason why I am presenting this message at the beginning of this service instead of later on like I normally do. This message today, this lesson today, is about a correct way to do worship. And I want this message to stick with us, not only throughout the remainder of this service today, but I really hope that this message sticks with us for all of our services to follow. So let's begin looking at these three verses. A few weeks ago, if you were here, I spoke a message about the insurrection of a man named Korah. In that message, we learned that this man, Korah, wanted the priesthood. He wanted to be a priest. Korah was a Levite, but not all Levites are priests. Only Aaron, who was a Levite, and his descendants were authorized by the law of God to be priests. Korah demanded this position of authority to be a priest, but it was not authorized in the law of God. And because of his insurrection against the law of God, Korah and his family were swallowed alive into the depths of the earth. If we remember, the ground opened up and swallowed him and his entire family. All 250 of Korah's followers, his fellow conspirators, were killed by fire from the Lord. The next day, another 14,700 sympathizers were killed by a plague sent by the Lord. The lesson to be learned from the story of Korah is this: do not desire and demand that which is not allowed by the law and the word of God. We see a similar but slightly different situation in today's text from Leviticus chapter 10. In this story, we see Aaron's two oldest sons, Nadab and Abihu. They're offering incense to God, and this is their first time doing it. Since they are descendants of Aaron, they are his sons, they are permitted by God and God's law to perform this particular act of worship. But something goes wrong. Something is wrong in the manner in which Nadab and Abihu are presenting their offerings. The text does not give us and tell us the exact details of what they were doing wrong. But whatever their violation, which the Bible simply terms as strange fire, it is serious enough that God is not pleased with it, and both men are consumed and killed on the spot by fire from the Lord. Their father, Aaron, has four sons, and right before his eyes, he witnesses his two oldest sons perishing under the punishment of God. What could they have done wrong? We're going to look at three possibilities this morning. The first one is in Exodus chapter 30, verse 9. And it gives the Levites a command on how to offer incense. And that verse from Exodus chapter 30, verse 9 says this: "You shall not offer any strange incense on this altar, or burnt offering, or meal offering, and you shall not pour out a drink offering on it." That's what the verse says. Could Nadab and Abihu violated this particular command and offered some kind of strange incense, something they were not permitted to do? Quite possibly, but we don't know that for sure. Another possibility from Exodus chapter 30, verses 34 through 38, it gives further instructions on how to offer incense. The verses say this: "Then the Lord said to Moses, take for yourself gum, resin, Nike and galbanum, spices with pure frankincense. There shall be an equal part of each. With it you shall make incense, a perfume, the work of a perfumer, salted, pure, and holy. You shall beat some of it very fine, and put part of it before the testimony in the tent of meeting, where I will meet with you. It shall be most holy to you. The incense which you shall make, you shall not make in the same proportions for yourselves. It shall be holy to you for the Lord. Whoever shall make any like it to use as perfume shall be cut off from the people. Further instructions on incense. Could Nadab and Abihu, the two oldest sons of Aaron, violated this command and made perfume for the wrong reasons or in the wrong proportions? It's a possibility, but even that we don't know for sure. So some theologians suggest that this violation of Nadab and Abihu, this strange fire, could have been a violation of one of those two commandments from Exodus. And for sure they could be right. But there is a third suggestion that these two men may have been drunk when performing their acts of worship. In Leviticus chapter 10, verses 8 through 11, had we continued to read on after verses 3 and read verses 8 through 11, here's what the scripture tells us. The Lord then spoke to Aaron, saying, "Do not drink wine or strong drink, neither you nor your sons with you, when you come into the tent of meeting, so that you will not die. It is a perpetual statute throughout your generations, and so as to make a distinction between the holy and the profane, and between the unclean and the clean, and so as to teach the sons of Israel all the statutes which the Lord has spoken to them through Moses." So we need to ask this next question. Could those two sons of Aaron been intoxicated when they came before the Lord to offer their incense? Once again, that is a possibility. We don't know for sure. But whatever the strange fire may have been that was initiated by these two sons, Nadab and Abihu, we know this: it was a violation of the law of God. And God is holy, and God was not pleased. And like Korah and his band of insurrectionists that we read about several weeks ago, these two men, Nadab and Abihu, were made examples of because of their disobedience, and they were consumed and killed by the Lord. If we were to go to the chapter before, chapter 9, at the end of that chapter, Aaron, the father, is offering the first ever sacrifice. He's offering a burnt offering and a sin offering. And the text tells us what happened. And that's the same text that I have on the front of your bulletin. And the text says this. Remember, this is the first ever offering by Aaron, the first priest. "When Moses and Aaron came out and blessed the people, the glory of the Lord appeared to all the people. Then fire came out from before the Lord and consumed the burnt offering and the portions of fat on the altar. And when all the people saw it, they shouted and fell on their faces." That offering by Aaron was acceptable to the Lord. Aaron performed that offering correctly. And correctly means according to the Mosaic law, according to the word of God. And I'm sure what a spectacle that must have been to see fire come out from the Lord, from the tent, and consume these offerings. It says that the people who saw it shouted and they fell on their faces. And I'm sure we would have done the same thing had we been there. But what about today? Today, we are under a new covenant. We do not live under the offerings of incense, under animal sacrifices, and we do not live under a Levitical priesthood. But we do serve the same God who expects our acts of worship to also be holy. He expects our acts of worship to be set apart from that of the world. And he expects our acts, he does not expect our acts of worship to be tainted with a New Testament brand of strange fire, whatever that may be. This morning we're going to do something that I very rarely do here. Let's do this. Let's close our eyes and let's bow our heads here this morning. I'm going to ask all of us three questions that we all just need to answer to ourselves here this morning. And the first question is this: do we truly understand the absolute holiness of the God that we serve? His absolute holiness. The fact that there is no sin whatsoever in him, and that he is absolutely holy, so far above and beyond any of us. The second question: do we truly understand that our acts of worship must be in obedience to the Word of God and to that same holy God? We cannot do things that are not outlined in the Word of God and expect them, and expect the God, an absolute holy God, to accept these things as our acts of worship. And then the third and final question: do we truly understand that as Christians, our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? That we no longer go to a temple as the Jews do? That the Spirit of the living God is residing right inside each and every Christian? That the Spirit of the living God sees what we see? That the Spirit of the living God hears every word that we speak? That the Spirit of the living God knows each and every one of our thoughts? Three good questions to contemplate here, not only this morning, but every day. You can open your eyes and raise your heads. I would certainly hope that this congregation here at Beech Grove Christian Church has a good biblical handle on issues concerning worship. I would not want any of us presenting strange fire in any way, in any method, to an absolute holy God that we serve. Not that today he would incinerate us with fire from heaven, although he could. That hasn't been his practice lately. But we do not want to follow in the footsteps of two men named Nadab and Abihu. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 31 says this: it is a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Not an easy thing. It is a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God. I've been accused quite often of being old-fashioned. Not by anybody here, thank you. But I have been accused of being old-fashioned. But I believe this: when we enter the assembly of believers on a Sunday morning, like we are here, we must have a correct heart attitude. We must have clean hands, and we must have a clean heart. In all of our acts of worship that we do for the God that we serve, both as a body of believers, us collectively, and as individuals, must be holy. A church worship service is not just a place, and it's not just a routine that we go through and do every Sunday morning. It must be more than that. Our acts of worship in here on a Sunday morning must be holy because the God that we serve is holy. So this morning, I direct all of us, and I'm the first one on that list, to all put on a heart of genuine worship as we continue with the remainder of our service here this morning. Let's go to God in prayer.